Scripture reading this morning is from Jeremiah 13 and verse 20. Lift up your eyes and see those who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you, your beautiful sheep?
All right, now it is. I'm on the pool. My message today relates to education. And as many of you know, we're starting school this Wednesday here at Three Angels. And we have 11 children, as was mentioned earlier. And I'm very thankful that we have an increase in the number of children and parents that see the value of Christian education. And so, but I realize we have a lot more children. It's still not working, huh? Let me try again. All right. Now it should be working. There we go. All right. Thank you. I like to let me pray. A man was once spending his vacation with a Scottish sheep herder. And one day he noticed that the herder was unusually quiet. So the man asked him why he was so quiet. And the herder replied, "I lost 65 of my best lambs last night. Wolves got in." And the man then asked how many of the older sheep were killed. And the herder looked at him in surprise and said, "Don't you know that a wolf will never take an old sheep as long as he can get the lamb? If a species is going to survive, the young must be protected. Otherwise, it will become extinct." You know, currently there are over 24,000 species that are endangered or threatened by human activity. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because our children are also threatened by human activity. Human activities that target them for spiritual destruction. They are under attack from all directions, from advertising, from television programming, the game industry. I've seen some kids play violent games all the time, even in church, nonstop. They're addicted. The music industry, which for the most part is anti-God and anti-Christian in its values and its lyrics, and even the music itself. It's targeting children and young people. And as I look out over at the church sanctuary here this morning, and other Sabbaths in the past, I've seen a lot of kids. And I realize that many of our children are under attack every time they go to school. Why is that? Because they find themselves in the public school system, where they enter a world that asks them, more or less, to check God at the door. And where traditional concepts or morality are more or less tossed out the window by their peers or even by some of the teachers who are hostile to Christian values. Not always, but many times. So what are we to do to protect our children from the onslaught? What are we to do? There is a saying, take care of your lambs, or where will you get your sheep from? And this speaks loud and clear about our responsibility here at Three Angels Church to care for our children. Every parent is a shepherd with a flock for whom they are responsible. Every church member is a shepherd. And in this congregation are members of your flock. And to each one, I believe, the good shepherd says, take care of your lambs, or where will you get your sheep from? Now, George Barna, who specializes in research for Christian ministries, he discovered the following. He discovered that the probability of someone embracing Jesus as their Savior between the ages of 5 to 12 is 32%. This is statistics. Statistics are never completely right, but they are averages. Now, this drops to 4% for ages 13 to 18, and 6% for ages 19 and older. So clearly, it's extremely important to provide our children with opportunity at a young age to accept Jesus. During the critical time in our children's lives, when they are most easily guided into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, are we giving them the optimal opportunity to do so as parents? Now, are we feeding them Christian values 7 days a week? Or are we feeding them to the wolves? Christian education is my topic this morning. And, you know, yes, school starts this coming Wednesday. And I'm very thankful that we have 11 students already registered. I'm also very thankful for the students that we have that are homeschooled by Adventist Christian parents. And it is my desire, and I think it should be the desire of all of us, to see every child, here are three angels, getting the optimal chance to give their lives to Jesus. To see every child in our church receive a day-by-day education based on Christian values. And I would like to start out with a quote from a book entitled Teacher and Child. And this quote, the author is Dr. Chaim Gnat, and he says, "Teachers have a unique opportunity to counteract unhealthy influences in a pupil's early childhood. They have the power to affect the child's life for better or for worse. A child becomes what he experiences. While parents possess the original key to their offspring's experience, teachers have a spare key. They too can open up the minds and hearts of children." Interesting, interesting quote. Who do you give the spare key to your children's heart? Who gets the key, the spare key? You know, Monday through Friday, multitudes of yellow buses are delivering students to well-equipped public schools with well-educated teachers. And there is no doubt that public schools here in Wichita are capable of educating our children scholastically. But we cannot count on them to help with the most vital of all educational aspects. The public school system will not and cannot and can never be expected to encourage the development of Christ-like character in our students. It can never encourage our children to accept Jesus as Savior and Lord. Even if some public school teachers would like to present biblical truths, the law does not allow them to do so. They have to check God at the door in some ways. A pastor visited a former member of his. He had a beautiful home. He lived in an exclusive neighborhood, and he drove a late model expensive car. He had a family and two precious children. Could life be better for this man? And they sat and talked for a while. And he told the minister about his successful business and his plans to expand his business. And later in the conversation, the pastor asked him how his children were doing. And the man paused and he took a deep breath. And then tears started flowing down his cheeks. And he revealed to the minister what he considered to be his only regret in life. He said, "If I had my life to live over, I would not make this mistake again. I took my children out of church school and I sent them to public school. I thought that they needed a school with better facilities. At first, it seems as if my decision was the right one, but I had lived to regret my decision." He said that his daughter returned from school one day, and she declared that she didn't want to go back to church. She said, "Church is not just boring, it's irrelevant, and from everything I've learned in school, I consider this Adventist stuff to be, I don't believe it in anymore. I don't believe in it anymore." And so while he was sobbing, he was talking to this pastor. He said, "My family is not the same anymore. We do not even have family worship together." Now, there's no doubt that the same thing could happen if a child attends church school. In some ways, families could still fall apart, not because they're being taught the wrong thing in school, but because children come in all different... You know, look at God's family. God lost a third of his family. He was a perfect parent because we are created with the ability to choose. But the change... the chance is much better. The chance is much better to succeed in terms of raising children for the Lord when the Lord builds the house. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, and we might say the school, except the Lord builds the school, they labor in vain that builds it. Parents need to remember that when it comes to their children, God does not want their success, He wants their sincerity. God does not want their achievement, He wants their obedience. God does not want their talent, He wants their commitment. God does not want their possession, He wants their passion. And God does not want their beauty, He wants their behavior. God does not want their brain, He wants their heart. And God does not want their knowledge, He wants their loyalty. God does not want their ability, He wants their ambition. God does not want them for time, He wants them for eternity. God does not want them in hell, He wants them in heaven. You know, this perspective, this heavenly-minded perspective is the one that will get us through, is the one that will safeguard us when we keep our minds on that level of God's perspective. A father told a story of how he heard the chilling cry of his daughter. She said, "Daddy, Daddy, come quickly and stop this big cat from licking my face." And when the father went to see what was happening, to his amazement, he saw a tiger licking the face of his daughter. And he ran back to his room and he grabbed his hunting rifle and he came and he aimed and he took one shot at the tiger and hit it in the head. And he jumped through the window and collapsed outside in a pool of blood. And it was later learned that this tiger had escaped from the local zoo. A tiger licking the face of his daughter is a very frightening and terrifying sight for any father. Well, there are some things out there in the so-called real world that kids have to face that are even more frightening and terrifying than that of a tiger licking the face of a child. In the United States of America, each year, there are over 1 million abortions performed, and the majority are young people. Majorities are young people. And over 1 million runaways, and the majority are young people. Over 1.5 million suicides and attempted suicides, the majorities are young people. And over 1 million in mental clinics, and again, the majority are young people. Over 10 million alcohol and drug addicts, and the majorities are young people. And over 10 million gays and lesbians, and the majorities are young people. Now, is this the real world that public schools prepare children better for? A world that can best be described by the Apostle Paul as aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Only a church school or a home school based on Christian values can prepare a child for that world. When a child enters the real world, that child should have a sense of what true values and virtues are. And they should have a sense to choose the right and shun the wrong. And they should have a sense to make good moral judgments and to run from evil. And they should have the sense of a sense of morality, a sense of dignity, a sense of decency, a sense of devotion to duty. A deep sense of an inner conviction, like, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This was Joseph. He had a great upbringing, and this was his mindset when he faced a temptation. Or we have Esther. She says, "If I perish, I perish." Again, she was raised in a faithful home. And then we have Joshua, Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Daniel 1:8. Again, facing extreme circumstances, but he decided to be faithful to God because of his upbringing. And then we have Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And, you know, at his return, Jesus will ask, where is the flock that was given you, your beautiful sheep? This was the scripture text that Dr. Brian shared with us earlier. Where is that flock that was given to you, your beautiful sheep? Jeremiah 13, verse 20. And we must answer that question as parents and as members of this church. Through the years, I have met many parents who told me that they cannot afford Christian education. And sometimes it's because they need a new car, or they need a new house, or they need designer clothes. And there is no doubt that Christian education is a sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice that we cannot afford not to make. Just like the commercial says, a new car, $18,000, a new house, $150,000, Adventist Christian education, priceless. Now, maybe there is real poverty involved, where a family simply cannot make ends meet. And if that's your situation, if that's a situation of someone in the church who is not here today, they have children and they're too poor to bring them to a Christian school, they think, then I want you to know, and I want you to communicate this, that the Three Angels Church considers Christian education priceless, so we have never yet turned away a child because the parent did not have enough money. Yes, there is a sacrifice involved, but it's a sacrifice that we cannot afford not to make as a church and as individual parents. You know, the price of lambs vary from season to season. Farmers listen to the radio, farm reports to learn the current price of lambs. The little lambs of Jesus remain priceless, as the price that he paid for them was in his own blood. It says in 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, some may argue that it is the parents and not the church that should be responsible for the spiritual development of their children. Well, I want to share with you this quote. Ellen White talks about, she underscores the need for the church to assist the parents in the Christian education of their children. She counseled, while we should put forth our earnest efforts for the masses of people around us and push their work into foreign fields, no amount of labor in this line can excuse us for neglecting the education of our children and youth. Now, here's another quote from the same page. God has appointed the church as a watchman to have a jealous care over the youth and children, and as a sentinel to see the approach of the enemy and give warning of danger. Seventh-day Adventist education has had a central place in our denomination since the year 1863. Adventist education was very important back then, but it's more vital, more important now than ever before in our history. And ask yourself this question. If I were the enemy, where would I expend all my energy? Where would I put my energy? Any formidable enemy would put his energy where he could do the most damage. When it comes to destroying the church, the youth would certainly be the enemy's target population. So don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by the enemy, that is. Satan has great plans for your children and for the children of our church. He has made them a priority. Have you made your children a priority? As parents and as a church family, what will your answer be? Let me see if I can get this. There we go. You know, There we go. You know, when Jesus looks into your eyes and he asks you what this heart-wrenching question of the prophet Jeremiah, where is the flock that was given to you, your beautiful flock? What is your answer going to be? As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we are going to... As Seventh-day Adventist Christians, we believe that we are at this very moment in the midst of a warfare that is greater than the war on terrorism. A huge conflict between the forces of good and the forces of evil, between Christ and Satan. And now is the time. Now is the time. It's well past the time in which you and I must choose our absolute loyalty to whom we will yield allegiance. To whom we will yield allegiance as the Lord of our lives. Yes, I do believe that the time has come when we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians must come to grips with the counsel of Scripture and the counsel of the Spirit of Prophecy, clearly pointing to the path that we should take. A path where Adventist education is not an inconvenient option, but rather an obligation of Christian parenthood that has eternal consequences. Adventist education is a sacred responsibility in the covenant relationship of godly parents. And we have been called as parents to heed the counsel of Deuteronomy chapter 6, to surround our children every moment or every day with teaching that leads them to love the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 verse 7 says, "You shall teach the commands of God." You shall teach the commands of God, the word of God, the counsel of God, diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, how can that possibly be done when we give our children over to a professed godless institution that is called the public school system, 5 days a week? An institution that says, "Do not bring God in here." Mrs. White, in an article entitled "Duty of Parents to Their Children," wrote this. She said, "Parents, if you wish to save your children, separate them from the world. It is your solemn duty to watch over your children, to choose the society at all times for them." Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? At all times, choose the society at all times for them. When you place your children in the public school system, you cannot do that. You cannot do that. Take care of your lambs, or where will you get your sheep from? A reporter who was covering a conflict in the Middle East, he saw a young child soldier get killed. Or not get killed, but get shot. And when the reporter saw this, he threw down his pen, he threw down his pad, and he stopped being a reporter for a few minutes. And ignoring all the information that was floating around in his head, he rushed to the man who had picked up this little child, and he helped them both into his car. Now, in that particular part of the world, there were thousands and thousands of child soldiers. Young children that had learned to aim and learned to shoot and learned to kill. And this was one of them. And he himself was shot. And here he was in the arms of this man. And the reporter drove his car as fast as he could. He stepped on the gas pedal, racing to the hospital. And the man holding the bleeding child said, "Hurry, my friend. My child is still alive." And a moment or two later, "Hurry, my friend. My child is still breathing." And a moment later, "Hurry, my friend, my child is still warm." And finally, "Hurry, my friend, my child is getting cold." And when they got to the hospital, the small child soldier was dead. And as the two men were washing the blood off their hands and their clothes, the man turned to the reporter and said, "This is a terrible task for me. Now I have to go and tell this child's father that his little boy is dead. And the reporter was amazed. He looked at the grieving man and he said, I thought he was your child. And the man looked at the reporter and said, aren't they all our children? That man asked an important question for us to ponder. Aren't they all our children? As parents, what are we doing for all of our children? Are we preparing them for battle? This battle is not to be fought with guns, for it is the battle for each person's eternal life. It's the great controversy between the forces of God and the forces of Satan. With what weapons are we arming our children? What weapons are we using, and what weapons are our children using? What type of training are we offering them? Education, page 271, it says, with such an army of workers as our youth rightly trained, how soon the message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried to the whole world. It is our responsibility to equip and train our children so that they may become a mighty force for spreading the good news about their soon returning Savior. Our church school arms our children with what the Apostle Paul refers to as the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the sandals of peace, the shield of faith, and the Word of God. With this armor on, they can battle the enemy with assurance of victory. Training and equipping every child in our church with this type of armor is an eternal issue. And it's our utmost responsibility. I want to invite each and every one of you to remember the mission and the non-negotiable commission that God has given to every single one of us. Christian education is a vital part in fulfilling that gospel commission. Satan has placed our children on the endangered list. Many of you have children that are no longer in the church, and some of them went to church school. So there is no guarantee that even church school is going to keep them on a narrow path. But it is a much greater chance, if not staying, for them to come back. Let's be careful so that they do not appear on the extinct species list. Again, my message this morning to parents and church alike, take care of your lambs. Or where will the sheep come from that will fill these pews in the future? You know, it was reported once in the news media that a maid found the body of a young man lying on the bed of his hotel room, and he was dead with a bullet hole through his head. And on the dresser, she found a piece of paper where he had scribbled his last will and testament. It was written on the paper with a hotel letterhead. He said, I leave to society a bad example. I leave to my family, to my friends, the memory of a wasted life. I leave to my father and mother all the sorrow that they can bear in their old age. I leave to my wife and my children a broken hearts in the name of a drunkard and a suicide. I leave to God a lost soul who has insulted his mercy. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a rule of thumb. It doesn't always happen that way. After all, when God lost one-third of his family, as I mentioned earlier, he was still a perfect parent. But the question we need to answer before God is this: are we doing all we can? it is obvious that somewhere along the way, the training of that young man who committed suicide was not complete. His spiritual dimension was not developed. He was unable to understand that no matter what the problem is, there is a way of escape. He was unable to understand that if he confessed his sins, God is faithful and just to forgive them. He did not understand that in the moment of deepest despair, God would never leave him. He did not understand that after death, there comes the resurrection. He did not understand that one day he must stand before the judgment bar of God. You know, out of the beautiful Adventist education, the education that children receive in our church schools, helps to develop moral and spiritual values in the students. Many of us, as we have experienced, we have seen children come and go to church school, and we have seen some children that they experienced this or that, and they didn't turn out too well. And we formed our judgment of church school on the basis of that. Or there are other factors that have prevented us from looking upon church schools in the way that has been described by Ellen White and also by me here this morning. But what is the alternative? Who do you give the spare key to your children's hearts? May each of us commit ourselves to feed our children. To feed our children, not to the wolves, but to feed them with the values of heaven in the setting of Christian education. Whether it be in a church school or it be in a homeschool setting, and of course also in a Sabbath school setting, and during the meetings of the church, that we feed our children with Christian education. I want to encourage each one of us here to consider this message as a life and death message for our children. And remember, there is nothing holding you back in terms of situations to bring your child into a Christian school, into our school. God calls us to give our children the best. And I pray that you will be part of that and that each one of us will contribute towards our children being saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful that you have given us our children. Sometimes we face heartache because of them, because of choices they make, no matter what we try. But Father, we know that we should never give up on our children until the day they die, because you have planted something in their hearts, in their minds, when they have gone through Christian school, when they have gone through a Christian home, that just might bring fruit someday. I'm thankful, Father, for our school here, an alternative to the public school system. And I pray that all our parents will see the value of giving the spare key to someone who has a Christian foundation, to someone who can train their children in the right way, to someone who has their spiritual dimension in mind. I'm thankful, Father, for our school teacher, Mrs. Marching. I'm thankful for our school and for the commitment of the church. You have placed upon us the burden to pay for this school. And I pray that it will be a school this year, a school that brings fruit in every child's life, and that the families of this church will be stronger as a result. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to be We're going to be singing a closing song. Yes, please.
I did not have any children, but I love all of your children. As I listened to this morning, I recognized my part. It's important for those of us who did not have children or whose children have grown, how important this is. One of the things that Pastor and Jean have brought to us are books. I picked up this book this week. It's called Prisoner for Christ, and it's the story of a man from China. They used the young people of the Seventh-day Adventist Church to close the doors of the schools, and the churches followed. There's another book floating around called Miracle After Miracle, isn't it, Jean? One miracle after another. True stories are an important part of this for your children to see how God has used young people. This is a story of a young man at 15 who decided to become a pastor in communist China, and it's the story, because I'm only in the first part of this book. There are many things written. The things that he shared from education in these books were written for us to learn from. These stories were written for us to understand and know. Our country has been protected for a long, long, long time. And why this is so dear to me, because I was talking to Aliona. And Aliona understands what it means to have people disappear. Daddies that go away. The story of the Seventh-day Ox is a story of a daddy that went away for a long time. Our country will no longer be immune, I'm afraid, very, very soon. We know that. This is our investment in our future, in our day-to-day. Because if we don't make that investment today, there will be no future.
Father, we may have made mistakes of the past. We're thankful for Jesus, through whom we find forgiveness and a newness of life. We're thankful for your Spirit that will walk with us and teach us as we move forward how to go about following your way. And Father, thank you for your goodness, and your love, and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.